Good morning, everyone, and welcome to High School Baseball on the Prairie Radio Sports Network. I'm Logan Sell, joined by Sean Temple this morning here from Meadows Field in Lewistown, the site of the Class 1A baseball sectional final today between the Abingdon Avon Tornadoes and the Rebels of South Fulton. Well, we are on the pregame show, Sean. It's the weather has cooperated to an extent. It's a cloudy day, but it looks like the worst of the chance of rain has passed south of us. So we should be able to get in a full game.
I think so as well, Logan. Got a lot of rain overnight. Talked to a couple of the people on the grounds crew here. The field looks in fantastic shape for the rain they got. Actually, they said the rain might have done the field a little bit good today. So field's in great shape. No sun, but that's fine. We got baseball today.
All right. The Tornadoes and the Rebels going at it with a sectional championship on the line, folks. We're going to go ahead and step away. We had a chance to talk with both of our coaches. Sean Temple spoke with Clayton Hatfield of the South Fulton Rebels. And I talked with Jeremy Pickerel of the A-Town Tornadoes. That's coming up in just a moment on the pregame show on AM 1330, FM 94.1 WRAM.
Back here on the pregame show, and with me, I have head coach of the South Fulton Rebels, Mr. Clayton Hatfield. How you doing, Coach?
Not too bad.
Not a glorious day for baseball as well as weather-wise, but you know, at this point, what's the matter, right?
Right, yeah. I mean, the field looks beautiful. The field actually needed a little bit of rain. We're just happy to be here. I don't think the conditions would even matter. You know, get up for this game is not very difficult, so.
Let's talk about your ball club a little bit. For those folks that haven't had a chance to hear or see your team play, tell us about your ball club a little bit.
Well, I got off to a rough start of the season. Started off 3-7, then we won 10 in a row, then we had a rough week. And then the last, three postseason games have been totally different, like I mentioned to you earlier. Just the key is going to be staying relaxed and just playing baseball today because this is a powerful team. And we'll give it our best shot.
Baseball. You know, it's the way it is. It doesn't matter what level it is, you're going to go through streaks. It's a marathon. You're going to go through your bad streaks, your good streaks. But you guys are playing pretty good baseball here down the stretch. That's really all that matters.
Yeah, I mean, we are, and it helps having two really good pitchers. Postseason, you can kind of just alternate them, and so you're always going to have good pitching on the mound. It's just a matter if we can make the plays behind them, and kind of scratch out a few runs to win the game. So,
great game the other night by Alex Dorothy on the mound, 1-0 win. I'm sure he could probably go some innings today if he had to, but who are you going on the mound today?
We're going with Justin Batterton. He's been our most consistent pitcher all year. Did great off speed, pretty good fastball, hits his spots very well. We got a lot of confidence with him on the mound. We don't really have necessarily an ace. It's kind of the 1A, 1B thing. I mean, people throw that term around a lot, but I think it really applies to us, so.
You were talking in the paper this week, and we talked a little bit off the air, kind of relishing the underdog role a little bit today, flying under the radar a little bit.
Yeah, why not? I mean, we're playing a 26-3 team. They're really good. They beat us about 3 weeks ago, 10-1. But we were in that game for 5 innings, so just the key against a team like this is going to be not playing scared. Don't be afraid to make a big play because we're going to have to make a few big plays in order to beat a great team like A-Town. So.
Playing a little tentative this time last year. I was looking back at some historical stuff. But this year, what is it with this group? Well, you talk about scrappy. A couple of comeback wins, got a 1-0 win. What is it about this group?
I mean, I think it's just kind of been the way we've prepared all year. This is my first year as head coach, and I really wanted to set the tone, the mindset of just being relentless, with everything you do. And they responded really well to it, and this is a pretty tough group of kids, so.
Speaking of first year, what a way to break into the varsity head coaching ranks, huh? What a nice season so far.
Yeah, I mean, I got no complaints with that. I inherited quite a bit of talent. But again, we had quite a bit of talent last year and fell a little bit short. So, I mean, I'm proud of these guys, and it's been just a great run, great team to coach all year, really.
Let's talk about the kind of individual players you got. I know coaches don't like to single out players, but naming some guys having some really nice seasons.
Batterton and Dorothy have had, great pitching on the mound. We converted, one of our infielders to catcher, Tyson McGinnis, and he's just played absolutely unbelievable behind the plate. Turned a nice old play the other night. So he's been really solid for us. And then the Tracewood kid in center, he's been very consistent with the stick and, in my opinion, the best defensive center fielder. In the area. So those are four kind of our big guns, the Dorothy, Batterton, McGinnis, and Hood. So.
And defensively, boy, I tell you what, you guys played good defense in the sectional semi the other night. Is that what it's going to take today?
Yeah, I think we're going to have to play better defense. They're going to put the ball in play more than Triopia did. We just got to be hungry and ready to make the play. That's going to be the major key for us today.
10-1 loss last time you guys see one another. I'm sure that kind of sticks in your craw. It's both a good and bad thing. It kind of gives you a little incentive. You know, but why not?
Yeah, I mean, it was a 10-1 loss, but the game was a lot closer than that, especially for five innings. It just goes back to believing you can beat a team like this, you know. Let that game go, and this is a new day, new game, and pressure's on them, in my opinion, so hopefully we can take advantage of that a little bit.
Pre-game speech, what do you going to tell the kids?
Just go out there and play. I mean, I'm not big on the big hoopla pregame stuff because, I think that puts a lot of pressure on kids. But I'll have something nice for them.
Don't all right.
About that.
Good luck, Coach. I'm looking forward to a really good ball game today.
Should be fun.
Head Coach Clayton Hatfield with the South Pole Rebels. We'll be back here on AM 1330 at the 94.1 WRM.
Welcome back to the pregame show on WRAM. Logan Sell here with you, joined by Jeremy Pickerel, head coach of the Edmonton Avon baseball team. In a sectional final today against the South Fulton Rebels, your Prairie Land Conference opponents during the regular season. First, before we get into what you know about South Fulton, let's talk about Wednesday night. You move into the title game here with a win over Winchester West Central, 7-1, the final score in that. A game where it just looked like the Tornadoes didn't make the mistakes. West Central made a few of them, and you capitalized on it.
Yep, that's what we've kind of been able to do all season is continuously get into those situations where we've got guys on base and then all it takes is an error or the other night it was a couple base hits, big base hits for us, and we were lucky to be in position to score. And then when you got a senior on the mound that pitched the way Kane Sunquist does, it makes it pretty easy to make plays behind them.
Yeah, because Sunquist, he did pretty well, went to six innings and didn't give much up to the Cougars. And, of course, you had Nick Boggs coming in to finish things off for you. Just, again, we talked a little bit last time. You guys have just a nice experience on the mound in several different ways.
Yep, today we'll go with Nolan Struess, and he's, you know, he pitched in a lot of big games for us last year, and he's continued that this year, and he's pitched really well. So we feel pretty good about the depth of our pitching staff. Whoever we need to go to, we feel confident they can get the job done.
Well, you're taking on the Rebels today. They've won five in a row, actually. Their last loss was two to the Tornadoes back in May 7th, but that was 3 weeks ago. Things have changed. They're playing pretty hot. They got a good pitcher. I don't know if he'll be set to go, as he just pitched a phenomenal game against Triopia. Did you stick around and watch that game against Triopia?
Yeah, we saw they threw Dorothy. That's who they threw against us the first time we faced them a few weeks ago. And, you know, they look like they've improved since we played them last time. They made a lot more plays in that game against Concord than they did against us the first time. But, you know, at this stage of the game, you expect that. You expect to see everyone's best. We just have to kind of stay focused. And we can draw back, again, on those experiences that we had from the first time we faced them, but we can't feel like anything's going to be easy because at this stage of the game, everyone's fighting for their life, and you got to assume that everyone's going to come out and play their best ball.
Okay, so focus, experience, what are maybe a few other keys you're looking for from A-Town today in this one?
Just, you know, good, aggressive at-bats. Again, hopefully we can get some guys in scoring positions, so when we get some timely hitting, we're able to capitalize. Making plays, I think that the team that can consistently make plays is going to come out on top. We can't walk people. I think that was the way they scored their one run against us the first time, was we had a leadoff walk, and then they did some things by putting the ball in play via the bunt. If we continue to do what we do, we feel confident that it could be enough. But again, it's postseason baseball. You never know what can happen. But that's what we can control, so that's what we're going to worry about.
All right, that's Jeremy Pickerel, head coach of the Edmonton Avon Tornadoes, getting set to take on South Fulton for a sectional title here in Lewistown. Coach, thanks for talking with us, and good luck.
All right, thank you.
We'll be back in a moment on WRAM. Welcome back to Midich Field in Lewistown, the site of our Class 1A baseball sectional title game, the A-Town Tornadoes of South Fulton Rebels, minutes away from going at it. Pre-game show wrapping up. I'm Logan Sill, joined by Sean Temple. Let's take a look at your starting lineups. Sean, we'll get to A-Town's defense in a moment. First, for the South Fulton Rebels, leading off senior center fielder Trace Hood. Batting second, senior pitcher Justin Batterton. In the three hole, the senior right fielder headed to Western Illinois University, Alex Dorothy. Cleanup, senior catcher Tyson McGinnis batting fifth. Shea Hopping, the junior third baseman. In sixth, the senior first baseman Jason Gossage. Batting seventh, senior second baseman Connor Stevens. Eighth, junior shortstop Adam Curry. And batting ninth, the DH, a junior, Gage Byers. That is a look at your South Fulton offense with Seth Hammond playing left field.
All right, your defense for the A-Town Tornadoes in the outfield from left to right. Left fielder Ben Stipp. Center fielder Brett Fordyce and right fielder Heath Milan. Your infield from third to first. Third baseman Hunter Durst. Shortstop Bo Glazer. Second baseman Tyler Dugan. And at first base, the big man Nick Calls. Behind the plate, very talented Shane Coleman. And on the mound, it's Nolan Struz, big left-hander.
Nolan Struz coming in with a game 48 and two-thirds inning pitch. He's 8-2 in starts. 69 strikes, 21 walks, and 1.44 ERA. They've done a phenomenal job for the Tornado this year. Struz, Sundquist, Boggs, all three of them, I should say, eating up big innings.
Yeah, just ERA, team ERA of 1.55. That's unheard of in high school baseball. I don't matter what the level. 1.55 is fantastic.
South Fulton has had some fantastic teams the past few years that fell short of where they want to. A-Town reached this point a year ago and dropped a 3-0 game to Princeville. We'll see who comes out up top in this one. Here we go. First pitch, Struz delivers. High for ball one to Trace Hood.
Not too out of the ordinary for your first pitch to be a little high because you are pumped up here on the sectional championship game.
Big left-hander winds and fires again. There's one, another one high. It looks like he may have tried a breaking ball, but it never broke, and it's 2-0.
Yeah, you just got to relax. When you're nervous and your adrenaline's flowing, you normally miss up high.
Right-handed batter Hood swings on that one on a fastball. Strike one, count now, 2-1.
Yeah, a little strange. The leadoff hitter up 2-0 in the count, taking a hack at the first strike he sees.
Steps back in there. Struz working quickly. The 2-1 swung on a high fastball, and the count's even up at 2-2.
He just blew that one right by him.
A little overpowering there. Now Struz working quickly once again. The 2-2 pitch winds, delivers. Ooh, just outside ball three, count now full. Hood did a great job laying off that one.
Yeah, all but that first strike have been up above the belt. Nolan's got to settle down here and get the ball down in the zone.
The 3-2, swung on, missed, strikeout one to begin the game. The A-Town faithful get pumped up, and so does the Tornado defense. That was a pretty good contest between the pitcher and the batter in that one.
Yeah, you said the A-Town crowd's pumped. We got a good crowd here on both sides. I'm not a player, a coach, or a parent. And I've already got butterflies. This would be a great day of baseball.
Justin Batterton up to the batter's box. Struz pitches a little fastball, catches the corner for strike one. Batterton coming into this game, batting 269 on the year. Of course, he's going to be on the mound today for the Rebels. The 0-1 from Struz. This one down a little too low, and the count now evens up 1-1.
Yeah, I think he's one batter in. Maybe the butterfly's out of his stomach a little bit. He's down in the zone now. Nothing above the belt.
1-1 to count. Here's the pitch from Struz. High one, foul back, and foul back to the press box. There's a game ball sing in the netting. We'll see if anyone ends up getting that one. 1-2 now the count. The netting to protect the windows there, the press box. Unfortunately, the game ball got caught. We'll see how many we go through today. 1-2 from Struz. Over the plate, caught him looking. Strike three. That's two straight strikeouts to begin the game. Nolan Struz. Feeling it right now.
That was a beautiful pitch. As high as Nolan was in the zone on the first hitter, all five of those before those pitches were down in the zone, and that last one was a beautiful pitch with a 1-2 count.
Left-handed senior Alex Dorothy coming in. He bats .382 on the year with two away top of the first.
Western Illinois product.
Struz delivers one high and inside for ball one. Yeah. Going to go play for Coach Brownlee in the Leathernecks down at Alfred D. Boyer Stadium. In McComb, here's the 1-0 swung on, missed by Dorothy. Count now 1-1.
Good hack by Dorothy.
1-1. The dimensions here at Midas Field, it's 300 down the lines and 360 to dead center. Time called. Ooh, and a little awkward movement from Struz.
Yeah, Struz is really late picking up his target at the plate, so a late timeout there by Dorothy, and Struz is ready to throw it.
Count remains 1-1. Now Nolan picks his pitch and fires, swung on, a high fastball, missed, strike two.
Wow, this is going to be power on power all throughout the afternoon today from both sides of the pitching mound.
First three batters, Struz has really been aggressive targeting them with that fastball. Here's the 1-2 from Nolan Struve. Swung on, missed, strike three. Three up, three down. No runs, no hits, no errors. No one left on base. Three straight strikeouts to begin the game for Nolan Struve, and the Tornadoes are pretty fired up, Sean.
Yeah, that was a lot of power out of Struve there. You knew he was pumped up with that first hitter missing high, and then he got himself settled down, got a little bit down in the zone, and a good mix from Struve, and three up, three down on three strikeouts. That's the way you want to start. Both teams, the hitting's a little tight as well as the pitching as well. I'm sure South Pole a little tight at the plate. Not really great approaches there in the first three hitters.
Well, we'll go ahead, keep it here as we head to the bottom of the first inning. Still scoreless in Lewistown between Abingdon Avon and South Fulton. Let's take a look at your starting lineups for the Abingdon Avon Tornadoes. Sean, you got the offense.
I do have the offense for the A-Town Tornadoes. Leading off, shortstop, Bo Glazer. Batting second, center fielder, Brett Fordyce. Batting third, the catcher, Shane Coleman. Cleaning up the pitcher, Nolan Struve. Batting fifth, the right fielder, Heath Milan. Batting sixth, first baseman, Nick Boggs. Batting seventh, third baseman, Hunter Darst. Batting eighth, second baseman, Tyler Dugan. And batting ninth, left fielder, Ben Stepp. No DH in the lineup for the A-Town Tornadoes this morning.
All right, let's take a look at that South Fulton defense. At first base, it's Jason Gossage. Connor Stevens at second. Adam Curry at short. Shea Hopping at third. In the outfield, left to right, Seth Hammond, Trace Hood, Alex Dorothy, Tyson McGinnis behind home plate. And on the mound today, senior right-hander Justin Batterton coming in with a 1.91 ERA, 5-2 in his starts. 55 innings pitched on the year, 66K and 22 walks. All right, we'll see what Bo Glazer can do for the Tornadoes. Leadoff batter, plenty of speed, and batting 226 on the year.
Yeah, OBP of 431. It's more like it out of here. Leadoff guy.
First pitch low in the dirt for ball one. Bo Glazer on a fastball missed low. Glazer started off that game against West Central on Wednesday, reaching on an error, and then eventually came around to score to set the tone.
Leads the team in walks. That's what you want out of your leadoff guy.
The 1-0 pitch swung on contact. Glazer is going to go down for a base hit towards right field. The right fielder is going to scoop it up. Dorothy throws it in, but a leadoff single for Bo Glazer just keeps the energy coming from the Abingdon Avon dugout.
Yeah, just punched that high fastball right to the right of the second baseman, between the second baseman and the second base bag.
Brett Fordyce comes up, committed to Monmouth College. Could be go be a Fighting Scott, left-handed hitter, with Glazer on it first, and nice little leadoff. In fact, Batterton's going to turn and try and chase him towards the back.
Yeah, just a little token throw. Keep Glazer close. Bo does have 14 steals on the year, but he has been called twice.
Fordyce steps back in there.
Gets a good lead.
Scoreless here, bottom of the first. Fordyce with contact towards left field, but ranging under it is Hammond, and he's going to make the out. Throw back to second in time. Glazer will have to head back to first. It's going to be a fly out to left field for Brett Fordyce.
Yeah, another high fastball from the pitcher, Batterton. And again, Fordyce just kind of punched it out there. Late swing out of the left-handed hitter.
Shane Coleman comes up, batting left-handed for the Tornadoes. The senior catcher. With a runner at first and one away, breaking ball. They're saying missed high that time, broke a little late for
McGinnis,
ball one.
McGinnis kind of held the pitch there for a minute, let Neil Pryor get a good look at it.
A little bit of framing. Still that 12-6 curveball. Well, I don't know if there's more of a case of that or not. There's another one. Catch the outside corner. Glazer on the run. In time. He beat it. The throw was in time. The tag was not. Kind of just a late swipe by your shortstop that time, Adam Curry. Couldn't tag up on Glazer, but a nice throw from McGinnis made it a close play at second.
Yeah, strong arm by McGinnis. I thought there was no shot at Glazer's. He got rid of that really late. He got a really slow motion down to second, but his strong arm made up for it.
1-1 to count. Runner now at second. There's a breaking ball high from Batterton. Count now 2-1. One away here, bottom of the first. Runner in scoring for position for the Tornadoes. That's Glazer on its second. And Coleman with a 2-1 count. Batterton working from the stretch. Fires one outside. Ball three.
At open base. Wouldn't be the worst thing in the world to put a batter like Coleman on base. You don't want to put a couple runners on for the leadoff, for the cleanup hitter, but you got to be careful with Shane Coleman.
3-1 our count. A slight breeze today, but not much to speak of. There's another high one, and it's ball four. Coleman's going to head on down to first, and I think you're right on that, and that's what Batterton was trying to do. Give him something outside the strike zone, try and make him chase it. It's not the worst thing in the world if you walk him.
Yeah, although Nolan Struve is a good hitter himself. Shane Coleman, notoriously adept at driving run down.
Threw 267 on the year, has runners at first and second, and one away. Pitch chopped over towards shortstop. Going to make the throw to second in time. Throw to first is not in time. Yes, it is. It's a double play to end the inning for the South Fulton defense, and that gets the Rebel faithful cheering. A 6-4-3 double play. That will end the inning and end the threat from the Tornadoes. We move to the top of the second. The Tornadoes get no runs off of one hit. There were no errors and one left on base. We move to the second inning of play. Still scoreless in Lewistown. Abby and Avon in South Fulton on WRAM. Welcome back to our sectional championship game in Lewistown at Midas Field, where the Abby and Avon Tornadoes and the South Fulton Rebels head to the second inning of play. Still scoreless after a 6-4-3 double play ends the inning and ends the scoring threat from A-Town in the bottom of the first. I'm Logan Sell, joined by Sean Temple on the call today. As the clouds lightening up a little bit, getting a little more heat here, it's going to turn out to a beautiful day for baseball.
Yeah, checking the radar on the way down to Lewistown this morning, and it looked like we were going to get some clouds early on, and then all the rain looked like it's moving through unless we get a pop-up shower here or there. But I think we're going to have maybe skies clear off and no rain.
Top of the second. Heart of the order coming up, 4-5-6. Tyson McGinnis leading things off. He is batting .406 on the season, leading the team for the Rebels. First pitch from Strews, chopped over towards right field. It's going to be a base hit for McGinnis as he got good contact. It looked very similar to Bill Glazer's leadoff single from last inning.
Yeah, boy, it's a strong swing from McGinnis. And it was the right fielder, Heath Milan, playing shallow. Anybody but the leadoff hitter that might have had to play at first, or excuse me, the cleanup hitter, who talking to some South Fulton fans, is one of the fastest kids on the South Fulton team. Anybody else, they might have had to play at first. That's how hard that shot was.
Shea Hopping heads in there, third baseman. Junior Strews gets that one chopped up high towards center field. Deep shot from Hopping, going to drop. And McGinnis is going to round second to third, and he's going towards home. The throw is going to be to home, not in time. It's going to be an RBI double for Shea Hopping.
Wow, he got all of that one. That was in the left field power alley. Burnt the left fielder and the center fielder. That was Ben Sipp and Brett Fordyce. Fordyce, very quick, got to the ball before it got to the fence. But I'll tell you what, McGinnis was chugging all the way around, and we were just talking about how quick McGinnis is.
And now you see the momentum swinging towards South Fulton here. 1-0, the Rebels lead top of the second off of a big, big hit from Shea Hopping towards the left center gap. Strews trying to recover here, has Jason Gossage up to the plate, who swings on a breaking ball and misses for strike one.
Yeah, really strange they weren't moving the runner from second to third, but a lot of times some coaches will give you one shot. I'll give you one shot to drive him in, and then you're going to bunt him over. I bet the bunt's on this play.
And we see some time here.
Yeah, again, Nolan Strews picks up his target at home really late, so a late timeout completely throws him off. But
Strews recovers. Bunt shown this time. Laid down the first baseline and just foul. They tag him, but just foul. That was nice bunt, but not quite enough that time from Gossage. He couldn't lay it in fair territory. Now it's 0-2.
Yeah, I couldn't tell if he missed a sign, maybe the first pitch, or the coach let him swing away. But bunting on the second one, that'll be interesting to see if they got him bunt with two strikes. Doubt it, but you never know.
Runner on at second. That's Jay Hopping. Big third baseman, a lot of power. Strews, the pitch in the dirt. Coleman blocks it with his chest, and it's going to be ball one. One ball, two strikes. Nobody out here, top of the second. 1-0, South Fulton leads.
Great, great job fundamentally by Shane Coleman. Sliding out, getting on his guard, leaning over, making sure the ball stays in front, doesn't kick away.
The 1-2 from Strews, that one chopped foul down to third baseline. Just a kind of a reflexive swing there from Gossage, kind of protect himself, and it's 1-2.
Yeah, both pitchers been up in the zone this entire ballgame so far, and up until now, they've both kind of gotten away with it.
1-2, the count remains. Hopping at second, nobody out. Strews fires, delivers that one, chops foul again on a breaking ball. And we stay at 1-2. Gossage really battling in there.
Staying alive here.
Coming into this game, Gossage batting .205 on the year with 17 RBI.
Coach Hatfield wanting Gossage to make it productive out here. If you're going to make it out, make it productive. Get that runner over to third, guys. It's extremely important for him to get the runner over.
A little time as the umpire picks up a baseball that drops into the area behind the catcher, and we'll get reset here. 1-2 the count.
Could have very well had a broken stitch on that one. Looks like the ball's in good shape, but can't have any broken stitches.
There's a pitch, breaking ball. Got Gossage reaching out, swinging for it. Strikeout. Out number one this inning. Strikeout number four on the day for Struce.
Has a great pitch by Nolan. Little backdoor curveball. Got Gossage to swing at it. And better yet, the runner does not advance to third. Not a productive out.
Second baseman Connor Stevens now steps up there, right-handed batter. Hopping still at second, now one away. Struz checks his runner at second, now fires. Over to plate, strike one.
Still up in the zone a little bit. Well, if I'm Coach Hatfield and Coach Pickerel, want my guys to settle down and get that ball down.
0-1 the count. Struz again, breaking ball low, and the count evens up at one apiece.
Another good job by Coleman, the catcher, to keep that ball in front of him. Keep that runner on second with less than two outs.
Hopping coming into this has one stolen base on the entire year. Not a huge threat to run from second. There's a 1-1 pitch. Fastball by him for strike two.
I've noticed the calls, the catcher calls that are coming from the dugout both ways from Coach Hatfield and Coach Pickerel. Both calling pitches today.
1-2 the count. Struz delivers, breaking ball, strikeout. Number two of this inning, number five of the game for Struz, and it's out two. We have Adam Curry coming up to the plate. The Tornadoes trying to end this inning with no more damage done.
Yeah, Struz can get an out from Curry here. That would be best-case scenario following a runner on second and nobody out and already a run in.
Adam Curry, junior shortstop, heads up to the plate. On the year, batting 263. Runner at second is hopping. Two away. As ball bounced down, Coleman did a good job blocking it. And once again, hopping, not the speediest guy out there, decided to play it safe and head back to second.
That's a great job by Coleman. I'll tell you what, CSC Chargers are going to get themselves a good backstop. I see this guy being penciled in the next 2 years in Galesburg.
Going to go down to ball one, but you're right, Coleman. Great arm behind home plate. Great defensive instincts and solid in the box as well. There's another pitch high. This one doesn't break down for Struz. And it's 2-0 to Curry.
Normally, you would be pitching around the 8 guy to get to the 9 hitter, but in the South Fulton lineup, it is the DH, so it's probably not your atypical 9 hitter.
There's a fastball swung on, missed, strike one. Two balls, one strike to Curry with two away here, top of the second. 1-0, South Fulton has a lead. They grabbed it in this inning from an RBI double, courtesy of Shane Hopping, who's still standing at second. Pitch from Struz, breaking ball outside, and the count now 3-1 to Curry. Well, Struz, coming in his last game he pitched was at the regional championship against Brown County a week ago.
Did pretty well that day.
The 3-1 inside, ball four. Curry is going to take his base.
Well, again, normally wouldn't be a bad walk with the 9-hitter two up, but it is the DH, so obviously Gage Stiers could swing the bat a little bit.
Shane Coleman steps out and talks to his junior pitcher a little bit, giving him some words of encouragement. We'll see. Gage Byers, you're right. The DH come in, left-handed batter, 255 in season average. Now has runners at first and second with two out.
Byers with how many RBIs on the air? Eight RBIs and limited at-bats, 57 plate appearances.
Struz fires that one, swung on, missed for strike one to Byers.
Yeah, a little off-speed there. Byers way out in front.
0-1 the count. Two down here, top of the second. The pitch from Struz. The low just underneath the knee, so that's ball one.
Coleman holding the ball there a little bit longer, like McGinnis did in the previous inning. Let him get a good look at it.
1-1 the count. Struz with another pitch. This one outside corner, strike two, one ball, two strikes.
That's an unhittable pitch. If no one can get that pitch across consistently, he's going to be untouchable today. That is such a tough pitch, that little sweeper to a left-hand batter, knee high on the outside corner.
Struz with the 1-2, swung on, strike three, got him swinging. And another three strikeouts in this inning for Nolan Struz. That's six on the day. As it is, though, South Fulton gets 1-1 across off of two hits. There were no errors and two left on base. We move to the bottom of the second. It's 1-0 South Fulton. on WRAM. I'm Logan Sell, joined by Sean Temple. We'll keep it here, Sean. What did you see from South Fulton that time at the plate?
Aggressiveness, for sure. The first two pitches of the inning were swung on, and a good line drive by McGinnis, and then a gap double by Shea Hopping to drive McGinnis in all the way from first as Coach Hatfield aggressively sending McGinnis to the plate. The way you do that is you watch pregame warm-ups and see what kind of arms they have in the outfield, and they shoot into the plate already today. Then Coach Hatfield knows what kind of arms he's facing in the outfield, just as Coach Pickerel knows what kind of arms the Rebels have in the outfield as well. So you get a good gauge that way and put a run on the board. But six strikeouts, six out, six strikeouts for Shrews. So getting them, it's either all or nothing right now for South Fulton. You're either going to get a hit or a strikeout, which means they're taking good hacks. They're taking healthy hacks.
Well, we'll see what A-Town can do. You know, this is a part where the Tornadoes haven't trailed in too many games this year, and certainly not recently. And you heard Coach Hatfield say in the pregame interview, all the pressure's on the Tornadoes. And I think they are a team capable of dealing with that and understanding that. But they can't panic, can't force things. They got to let it come to them.
Yeah, similar to the game they played back on May 7th. Actually, South Fulton led 1-0 after 3 and ended up getting beat 10-1. So they did have an early lead in that one, but couldn't quite hold on. We'll see what today holds.
5-6-7 coming up for the Tornadoes. Heath Milan leading things off. Batters in the second inning of work. Breaking ball days high for ball one.
And he is. That one was a little bit more down in the zone.
Milan batting .356 on the year. Big senior right fielder. There's another pitch. This one breaks inside, I believe, for a 2-0 count.
Yeah, a little bit different look to the A-Town Tornadoes this year. A little bit different approaches. Their average is up. I don't have the averages from last year. Probably got to be up. It hit .316 this year. Their home runs are down.
Their power is down, but their actual their hitting is up, yes. Pitch from battered and 2-0 stays high on a fastball, 3-0 the count.
I believe you did a game, you did an 8-10 game last year. They had like 11 in that game alone. They have 11 on the season this year. So power number's down, but the average is up.
Maybe you're exaggerating. The 3-0 pitch stays high. Four straight balls. Milan will take first on a walk.
I think there was at least, what, six or seven in this game from A-Town.
It was a 14-11 game, I believe. And I think it was A-Town McCullum or is it A-Town and Illini West? Either one. A lot of traded home runs. This year, not as much. But once again, just smart hitting. Getting the runners over.
I would think Boggs would not be money in this case.
Now, Boggs, a big first baseman. He's .351 on the year, one of your better hitters. He may have the green light here, getting some signs from Coach Pickerel.
And I think he's going to take a strike with five straight balls. I'm almost guaranteeing he's going to take at least one strike here.
First pitch outside, second one high, 2-0 the count to Box.
Six straight balls now. Now I almost guarantee that Coach Pickerel's flashing some signs. I almost bet one of those is the take sign.
Milan standing at first, nobody out here, bottom of the second, South Fulton. Leads it 1-0. Swung on, missed by Boggs.
It's a whole new game.
Yeah, 2-1
account. It's a whole new game anymore. In the old days, if you swung after six straight balls, you might be pinch hit for right in the middle of your at-bat.
The 2-1 pitch, swung on, missed. Healthy fastball again that time from batter, and then count evens up at 2 apiece. Boggs steps back in there. Thinking you want a productive at-bat. If nothing else, get that runner over. Milan at first, batter in the pitch. Ooh, just low. It looked like it was going to go for strike three looking. And the umpire steps back and does nothing. It's a full count, 3-2.
Seven steals on the air for Heath Milan. That's not a bad total.
3-2 the count. Patterson's pitch, swung on, chops foul, and Boggs will stay alive. Milan heads all the way to second before he realizes he has to turn around.
Hunter Durst on deck, the only sophomore in either starting lineup today.
And a very capable sophomore at that. A very, very good third baseman. Bond steps back in there. Count remains full. There's one high. Ball four. Two straight walks after Boggs gets ahead, gets down, and then battles back. And we're going to see Coach Hatfield talk with a starting pitcher, Batterman. Justin Batterton on the year. Once again, 55 innings pitching, 1.91 ERA, but struggling a little bit with his control early in this one.
It's probably a little combination talk here. First, to settle Justin Batterton down. And then you got to adjust your defense with nobody out, runners on first and second. Coach Pickrell already talking to Hunter Darst, the sophomore. What better way to get the sophomore acclimated into a sectional championship game than to have him lay one down here? I almost guarantee he's going to be bunting. So Coach Hatfield is going to make sure he gets his defense set. Normally, your third baseman would stay home on this, depending on what play they have called, and your first baseman would be in. And maybe if you get a hard bunt back to the pitcher, third baseman, or the pitcher or the first baseman, you get that out at third, which would be huge at this point.
We'll see what Darst can do. Sophomore steps in there. As the conference subsides, runners on the first and second, nobody out, bottom of the second. A-Town threatening again. They trail 1-0 to South Fulton. Pitch inside corner on strike one. The shortstop broke on the pitch to go cover third base.
Yeah, looks like they might have hit the wheel play on there, but the third baseman, Shea Hopping, did not charge. Now he's backed up. Now the wheel play is probably off.
The 0-1 pitch high out of the glove of McGinnis. Runner's going to go for third down in time. And the runner's now on the corner. That was a high pitch from Batterton. McGinnis had it in the glove and it popped out. And I think that goes to the pass ball, doesn't it?
Absolutely a pass ball. Just popped right out of his glove. I'm guessing he might have took his eye off it just a little bit. And it just didn't squeeze it well. Balls did not go to second on that. Usually when the guy hit it, you goes, you go. I mean, that's pretty much the rule. If he goes, you go. The ball stayed at first on that. Now you got to put a first and third play on as the catcher is flashing the defensive signals out.
Boggs at first, Milan at third. Nobody out here for the Tornadoes. Darst at the plate with a 1-1 count. Batterton steps back up to the mound. Swung on, foul back to the backstop count. Now 1-2 to Hunter Darst.
Yeah, big strikeout for Batterton here. And then that would set the double play up, although Tyler Dugan on deck, I'm guessing, is a really tough man to double up.
1-2 the count. Tornadoes hit into a double play to end the last inning when they had some threats out there. Breaking ball, caught him. He knew it. He wanted to swing at the last second, but it caught him looking. And he'll go down for out number one.
That was a fantastic curveball by Justin Batterton. Yeah. And he hit it well. I mean, he hit the curveball well and had Darst completely fooled.
Tyler Dugan, second baseman. Left-handed hitter steps up there. Runners on the corners. One away now, bottom of the second.
Well, South Fulton was got themselves a couple of double plays to get out of trouble on Wednesday night. They've already turned one tonight.
There's one foul back to the backstop for strike one.
A little inside-out swing from Tyler there. Well, if he was late on the swing or if he's just a naturally little inside-out hitter. See, if Boggs does not have a steal on the season, not the quickest guy out there. Got one heck of a bat, but not the quickest guy on the field. So I don't think you can get him in motion here. So the double play should be in order the entire at-bat.
0-1 the count. Bunch shown, but the pitch is outside for ball one.
It's interesting. It wasn't a squeeze, as obviously Milan wasn't breaking the little safety squeeze there instead of a suicide squeeze. Coach Pickrell flashing some signs out to his hitters and base runners.
One down as the Tornado dugout gets some calls going. Bunch shown again, pulled back, strike one.
Well, they did send balls. And then nobody's covering a third as Milan was kind of hung out there to dry it.
1-2 the count.
Wow, that's sneaky by Coach Pickrell.
Well, Boggs goes ahead and takes second.
Now with a 1-2 count, you really need a strikeout here, even with nine men on deck. You got to go get your strikeout here.
Dugan steps back in. 1-2 the count. One away. There's a pitch. Curveball high. Ball two.
Just about.
That was very close to the same pitch that caught Hunter Darst looking.
Maybe just about belly button high on Tyler Dugan as the ball broke a little too late.
So the count evens up, two balls, two strike. Here's a pitch, fastball, caught him swinging for strikeout number two and out number two this inning.
Huge strikeout for Batterton. Coach Pickrell, sure, that's what gives coaches gray hair, or in Coach Pickrell's case, bald heads, I guess, is not making productive outs. Runners at third with less than two outs, one of my biggest pet peeves in the game.
Stipp will come up there now. Ben Stipp, left fielder, takes a ball low on the first pitch.
Yeah, it actually looked like a decent pitch, but the catcher McGinnis, I think, I don't know if he got fooled on it or as Coach Hatfield asking about the call. It looked like a good pitch. The problem was McGinnis caught it in a strange way that if he calls that a strike, then you're getting yelling from the A-Town crowd.
Because he kind of flailed a little bit from his catcher's position there.
He stood like he thought it was going to be a fastball, but then it broke at the last minute and kind of caught it Willie Mays style.
Stiff swings on that one, fouls it at the plate. And the count is now 1-1.
Huge at bat here, obviously, early in the ballgame, even though we're in the bottom of the second inning. Wow, this would be a huge boost for A-Town to pick up a two-out run and maybe even a bigger boost for South Fulton to keep them off the scoreboard with the trouble they were in earlier in this inning.
The 1-1 swung on a high breaking ball, fouled back out of play by Stiff. Count now 1-2 to Ben. 2-0 away here, bottom of the second, South Fulton with the lead 1-0. A-Town trying to counter, tie it up. But South Fulton is really locked down once they get those runners in scoring position here in the early going.
Huge at-bat here, even in the second inning.
Batterton with the pitch. Outside corner, strike three. And three strikeouts on the inning as he catches Steph looking for the inning. The Tornadoes get no runs off of no hits. There were no errors and two left on base. We move to the third inning of play. It's 1-0 South Fulton on WRAM. High school baseball on WRAM, AM 1330 and FM 94.1. I'm Logan Sill alongside Sean Temple here on the Prairie Radio Sports Network. The Abingdon Avon Tornadoes trail the South Fulton Rebels 1-0 after two innings complete as Rebel defense is really locked up here after allowing two runners on in the first two innings. Force a double play in the first and then get three straight strikeouts from Justin Batterton to end the second inning. The Rebels coming up. Top of the order, 1-2-3, it's Hood, Batterton, and Dorothy. As they all struck out in the first inning, Drew is back on the mound, gets a nice pitch over the plate for strike one.
Yeah, big boost for South Fulton. They got that inning in the bottom half of the second, and A-Town's really got to clamp down here and make sure they don't, with the emotional letdown, give up some runs here in the third.
Hood sits on a curveball that breaks just outside for Strews, and the count is 1-1. Here's the pitch from Nolan Strews. Get that one shot back towards short. Glazer's going to take it. Throw to first. In time for out number one. It's a routine play, but never routine when you have a batter like Hood, who is so fast out there.
Yeah, absolutely. Bo Glazer does a great job with the glove. Not the strongest arm in the game, but he gets rid of it quick, and that's all that matters is that ball kind of stayed down on him a little bit. A little slow roller out to him. Made a nice strong throw to first.
Batted in back at the plate. Struck out looking in the first. Strews with the first pitch. Looks like a breaking ball high for ball one. One away here, top of the third. Rebels lead 1-0 in this baseball sectional final. Second pitch low from Strews, and it's 2-0 the count to Batterton.
Coach Hatfield, you want to get a runner or two on ahead of Dorothy. Standing on deck.
2-0 the pitch over the plate, strike one. Most of the time you're going to wait on that one.
Yeah, it's a whole new game. I've stopped guessing on how coaches do high school baseball.
You would win the count. Through his pitches, foul down the third base line by Patterson way out in front. And the count, he was up at 2-2.
Good comeback from Sirius falling behind the count 2-0 and made a great pitch from first strike. One pitch ago, knee-high outside corner. That's such a tough pitch to get to.
The 2-2 from Nolan Strews. Breaking ball, chopped up. That's going to be a base hit for Batterton as it just went right in between second and short. Not much you can do in that situation. It's a little kind of blue single there.
Yeah, I hate to beat a dead horse, but again, a pitch up in the zone, and the three hits that the South Fulton has have been pitches above the belt, and they've just been chopping at them. When they make a mistake as a hitter, you cannot let that one get by. You don't get too many pitches during an at-bat to hit. You can't waste them.
Courtesy runner Tyler Shutter coming in, the freshman, for your pitcher Batterton. Shutter on the year has 7 stolen bases for the Rebels.
And normally, you're only one of a freshman as one of your courtesy runners because usually your older kids are your better base runners. But if you got the speed, obviously, that Shutterton has, you put them out there.
So Alex Dorothy heads back up there, struck out to end the first inning. We'll see what he can do with one away and a runner on at first for South Fulton. Strews is going to step off, throw back to first, and
shutter dives back in time. A little token throw. Keep him honest.
Sure, he's a left-hander. It's such a tough job getting a good jump on a left-handed pitcher. And you've got a good move like I think Strews has. I've seen him pitch a couple times the last couple of years. Got a pretty good move at first and being left-handed.
First pitch to Dorothy, breaking ball low. And the count is 1-0.
And maybe just a touch inside as well as Shane Coleman reached over into that left-handed batter's box.
Runner on at first with a modest lead. And Strews is going to throw back again. Once again, your eight-town defense, that's Boggs at first. Holding the runner on, also Tyler Dugan, your second baseman. Bo Glazer at short, Hunter Darst at third, outfield left to right, Ben Stitt, Brett Fordyce, Heath Milan, Coleman behind home plate, and Strews on the mound. The 1-0 pitch, outside, count is 2-0.
Buried up his delivery that time. He'd been taking his time going to the plate that time, not really a quick pitch. He did come set. Once he came set, well, he came right to the plate, giving that runner at first an even tougher job of getting a good jump.
Dorothy steps back in there, left-handed hitter. Strews is going to throw over to first again, and once again, shutter dives back in time.
It's another different look as Strews was looking at home plate as he threw the ball over to first that time. It's the first time we've seen that look out of him as well.
2-0 the count to Dorothy. Here's a pitch from Strews inside. Almost caught him. And the count is 3-0. Coleman's going to talk things over with his pitcher.
Yeah, and what Coleman's probably telling him is, hey, you know, we got to focus on the hitter here. He's paying a lot of attention to shutter, and he should. I mean, you can't let him run wild over there. But right now, he needs to focus on Dorothy, because if you get one up in the zone to Alex Dorothy, he's going to either deposit over the fence or put it in a gap somewhere.
Dorothy batting 382 on the year with 23 RBI. You're right. He also leads the team with 4 home runs.
Yeah, you can't focus entirely on that runner. You've got to really focus on Dorothy here as well, and then you get the cleanup hitter on deck.
3-0 the count to Alex Dorothy. Here's a pitch. High, ball 4. He'll take his base on a walk. And just like that, runners at first and second with one away, top of the third.
Second walk in the ballgame for Strews.
And we're going to see Coach Pickrell talk things over with Nolan Strews on the mound in defensive conference here.
Same thing, almost identical to Coach Hatfield in the last inning. One, you're going out there to settle your hurler down. That's the first thing you got to do is get his focus back on the ball game. And you're also going over your defense while you're out there as well. You have one out. I don't think you would bump the cleanup hitter McGinnis, but if he does have some speed, it's something you got to be cognizant of.
McGinnis is one for one in this one. He singled, then came around to score. The game's only run last inning. Off of that RBI double from Shea Hopping, who is in the hole now.
And then Coach Hatfield has his runner at second come down and meet him, and also talking things over with the batter and the on-deck hitter as well.
Well, this game is brought to you by Tom Irons of Accounting Systems, an experienced tax and accounting professional. He's proud to support the A-Town Tornadoes. Congratulations, Abby and Avon, for an exciting season. Go Tornadoes. Brought to you in part. Of course, we have some fine sponsors for Tornado Baseball and softball this postseason. Thanks once again to all of them. Well, the conference has ended. We'll see Tyson McGinnis back up at the plate. Right-handed hitter, one for one in this one. Runners on at first and second. And one away for South Fulton. Strews, the breaking ball out of the glove of Coleman, but he dashes over and picks it up in time. It's going to be ball one to McGinnis.
Does another good job of keeping the ball in front of him and keeping those runners on. The last thing you need is runners to go to second or third with one out there.
Shutter running for Batterton at second. Also Dorothy on at first. So you got to believe a lot of speed on the base path for the Rebels. 1-0 pitch swung on. That's going to be chopped towards third, rolling foul as it's picked up by Darst. He does a good job laying off on it. It's going to be hard to charge up, get that, and then get back to third base in time. So he lets it go for a foul ball.
Yeah, Darst playing really deep. There's no way he throws out McGinnis on that if that ball rolls fair, stays fair. Then you got the bases loaded and nobody out. Great job by Darst, the sophomore, and let that roll.
1-1 to count to Tyson McGinnis. Strews settles back in. Runners at first and second. Here's the delivery. Good swing, but popped up foul out of play down the right field line. And count now 1-2 to McGinnis.
And Strews, of course, has been shown his proficiency for the strikeout. 6 of them in the first 7 outs today. Boy, he could use one here.
One away, top of the third.
I would think we'd see one of them good breaking balls right here.
Here's a pitch from Strews. A good contact, blocks it towards center. Fordyce makes the leaping catch, and he'll throw back to second in time. Fordyce
who does so well out there in center, made a mistake at first as he came charging in, but with his athleticism, he's able to recover in time, make a great, fantastic leaping catch in center field for out number two.
You can ask every outfielder in high school, little league, professional, college, and what is the hardest ball? And that's the one right at you. It's so hard to judge. And, boy, he took two steps in and just about killed himself there because he had to jump up and make a leaping grab. Those balls right at you are so hard to gauge.
Shea hopping back in there would like to add to his RBI today. He had that double last thing to score McGinnis. He's up there with two away, runners on at first and second, and takes a pitch on the inside corner, strike one.
Obviously, no one learned from the last at-bat because that one was about knee-high right on that outside corner. Got to keep I can't reiterate enough. You've got to keep the ball down.
Strews with the 0-1 pitch. Breaking ball chopped over, and it's going to go into the outfield for a base hit. And it's just going to be a single for Hopping, and runners will advance as Shutter holds up at third. He didn't have a chance to make home, but still, a single there for Shea Hopping. He's 2-for-2 on the day.
That loads him up for Jason Gossage, who Strews got the strikeout back in the second.
Gossage made him work for it, though. Count was 1-2 for about 7 pitches. He steps up there. Base is loaded. 2 outs here in the top of the third, and there's a pitch right over the plate for strike one.
Outfield, the left fielder playing almost directly in left center here. Definitely playing him to swing late. Not playing him full. Fordyce straight away in center field, and right fielder Milan is straight away. But boy, the left fielder is clear over in the left center field gap.
0-1 the count. Strews that breaking ball just low and outside for ball one. Count now evened up. 1-1. 2 away here. Top of the third. South Fulton leads 1-0. They're threatening again, though. Base is loaded. Shutter at third. Dorothy at second and Hopping at first. The pitch from Strews, breaking ball, chopped down to third baseline. Going to be grabbed by Darce. He'll step on the bag and end the inning with no damage done for the Abingdon Avon Tornadoes. That's going to be a 6-5 unassisted, for out number three on the inning. The Rebels get no runs off of 2 hits. There were no errors and 3 left on base. We move to the bottom of the third inning of play on WRAM. It's 1-0 South Fulton. Well, Sean, interesting that time defensively for A-Town. They got themselves in some pressure. Were able to get out of it.
Yeah, great pitch by Strews. When he needed to make pitches, he made them there in that last at-bat. And he got the ball up a little bit to a couple other batters. But other than that, the thing is, you just want to make pitches when you need to. You're not going to throw no hitters every time you go out there. Everybody knows that. But you've got to make pitches, pitch to contact, get yourself a ground ball, and got one right to the third baseman that time.
So we will see the top of the order coming up for the Tornadoes in the bottom of the third. 1-2-3, it's Glazer, Fordyce, Coleman working gets battered in, who ended the second with 3 straight strikeouts against the bottom part of the order after getting a runners on at first and second.
Yeah, same thing. Same thing for Justin Batterton when he got a little bit of trouble there in that second inning and made the pitches when he needed to and got 3 straight strikeouts.
That one, the runners actually got over to second and third, still no... Nothing doing for the Tornadoes after Batterton was able to escape the damage. We'll see what happens this time. Glazer coming up, led off with a single back in the first.
Really good leadoff batter for the A-Town Tornadoes. Sets the table well.
The in coverage of A-Town Baseball on WRAM. Brought to you by several of our fine sponsors, including Abingdon Napa, the Abingdon Banking Center, and Shelley Poston, your country financial agent. Logan Sell alongside Sean Temple. It's 1-0 South Fulton. Here's the first pitch from Batterton. Breaking ball. Glazer holds off, but it's over the plate for strike one.
Both pitchers have settled in here a little bit. Getting that curveball over. You know, when you're throwing your curveball for a strike, you're settling in.
Glazer steps back in, right-handed hitter, and Batterton calls off the one pitch, now settles on another. The 0-1, another breaking ball, foul down the third baseline, counts quickly 0-2 to Bo Glazer.
Bo will battle. Look at Bo's strikeouts on the season. Bo got 4 strikeouts. 23. That's a lot. That's a pretty good total for a leadoff hitter, but he has had 118 plate appearances. So,
the 0-2 to Glazer, breaking ball. Swings on a high one, but fouls it out of play down the first baseline. And the count remains at 0-2.
Yeah, Bo giving a little smile. That thing was about shoulder high to Bo. Took a hack at it anyway. With 2 strikes, I mean, you have to.
So Glazer steps back in there, Batterton settling down, delivers the 0-2 pitch. Swung on, foul, back out of play once again. And we stay no balls, two strikes.
Peter, that time up high in the zone. Trying to get him to chase one about letter high.
Here at Minage Field in Lewistown, our sectional championship today. The 0-2, high fastball again. This one maybe another 3 feet above the head of Zoe Glazer as McGinnis leaps up to grab it, 1-2 the count. Glazer steps back in there. The pitch from Batterton, who wants to swing on it, doesn't go around. The breaking ball went too low, maybe a touch outside as well. That was a good pitch from Batterton.
It was a great pitch from Batterton and an even better job of Bo laying off.
2-2 the count now. Here's a pitch from Justin on the mound. Fastball high. 4-3 the count now full.
Yeah, baseball strike. Not, you don't get much above the belt, especially not much above the belly button.
So we have a full count. 3-2 to our leadoff batter in the bottom of the third inning. Here's the pitch from Batterton. Chopped fair. No foul down to first baseline. And the count remains 3-2. Right at your first base coach for the Tornadoes. Yeah, Coach Pickrell over at third. I can't see quite who that is at first.
It's not Coach Dugan or Coach Spivey.
Batterton with the 3-2. Swung on, missed. Strikeout swinging by Glazer. And that will be out number one. 4th strikeout of the day for Justin Batterton.
That was a good battle. I love pitcher-batter battles. Just kind of the whole makeup of them. That was a 9-pitch at-bat. Great job of Bo to hang in there, pounce some pitches off, and then Batterton made a great pitch to finally get to Glazer.
Now Fordyce back up at the plate. Flew out to left center. First time up. We have a umpire timeout waiting for a new baseball to get back to him.
Odd time to get in baseball.
Batterton was just about ready to step into his delivery. Now he does. Fordyce shows bunt, but pulls back at a high pitch for 4-1.
That's the kind of stuff that gets me in trouble. As a South Pole coach, I would have been like, hey, let's go. My guy's in a rhythm here. Don't be asking for baseballs now. Yeah, that's what gets me in trouble.
Sean, you've already been warned today. You better not push it.
Sean Dovey, well,
I'm 1-0. Swung on by Fordyce, foul back out of play, and the count evens up 1-1.
Sean Dovey, the umpire at first, has already thrown me out of the game in the pregame. Kiddingly, of course. I've known Sean for quite a while. Good umpire.
Fordyce steps back in there. 1-1 the count. Batterton, working in his third inning, has one away here. Breaking ball. That one's going to be chopped fair right to the bag. And Hopping is going to your first baseman is going to step on the bag for out number one.
Yeah, similar to the upper half of the inning. Boy, you want to keep those runners off base ahead of Alex Dorothy, and the same can be said maybe even more so for A-Town, is keeping runners off the base for Shane Coleman.
Coleman reached on a walk in the first inning, was thrown out on a double play, swings on his first pitch, foul, back out of play. Count is 0-1 to Shane.
Healthy cut there. He's wanting to tie this game up with one swing. Not a huge home run. He does have 3 on the season. Just more of a line drive hitter. Just sprays line drives everywhere.
The 0-1 pitch, Gossage. That one chopped up, going to land in foul territory as just kind of curved away. It was right down the line, but going to go foul for strike 2 from Coleman as he got healthy contact. And once again, plenty of room out there in left field as your left fielder, that's Hammond, was a little more over to the gap. In fact, this time I think he's going to shift back over more in line with the pole.
Yeah, there's every coach is going to play Shane Coleman the pole. He just got around late on that last pitch.
0-2, Coleman gets contact on that one, but it's foul. And he'll head back to the plate. We get some Tornado baseball unhappy with that one right down the line towards right field. The umpire right there says, nope, it was foul.
Demonstrative foul call from Sean Dovey out there, letting everyone know what that was.
Coleman trying to gather himself here. 0-2 the count. He's had 2 good looks. One went foul down third baseline. One went foul down the first baseline. Another one went foul behind the backstop. The 0-2 from Justin Batterton. Looking for the pitch, and now finally Coleman calls time.
Batterton taking his time here. Even up in the count 0-2, you got to be careful.
There's a pitch high and away for 1.
and a waster up and away. Wouldn't surprise me to see something, a little breaking ball here after the up and away fastball.
Two outs, bottom of the third. South Fulton leads 1-0. 1-2 the count to Coleman. Left-handed hitter. Kind of an open stance. Batterton, the delivery. That one fouled back down the left field line and out of play. And count remains 1-2.
Something off speed. I couldn't tell from this angle if it was a breaking ball or just a straight change. But it was definitely something off speed.
Coleman keeps fighting, though. That's four that he's fouled off. Team that's at bat.
If you're Batterton here, you want to get something in on Coleman's hands. Don't let him get extended when you're heading to count. I'm on the inner half of the plate here.
1-2 the count. Here's the bat. Batterton pitch. Swung on. It's going to be a base hit for Shane Coleman out of the reach of your second baseman, Connor Stevens. Kind of a seeing eye single for Shane Coleman.
Great at-bat by Coleman. A terrible pitch from Justin Batterton. Way too much to the plate. About felt high. He's lucky that was just a single. Boy, he left the ball about felt high, middle of the plate. Something you can't do, 1-2 against somebody like Coleman.
Now Nolan Strew steps up to the plate, hit into a 6-4-3 double play to end the first inning. Takes a breaking ball high for ball one. Coleman at first, two outs for the Tornadoes. Going to get a little two-out magic here in the bottom of the third.
Yeah, looking at Justin Batterton's body motions there after that last pitch, he knows he made a mistake to Coleman. Now he's got to battle back from it.
1-0 swung on by Strews and fouled back out of play. A little late on the swing from Nolan. The count's now 1-1. Well, we're here in Lewis, South Dakota, Class 1A baseball sectional. The winner of this game will take on the winner of the Blackburn College sectional. It's Drews. Swings that one. It gets past the first baseman, and he's going to make his way to first in time. Coleman's going to round second, head to third, and hold up. That is going to be an E3 on Jason Gossage. Just a grounder right to him, and he booted it.
Yeah, Gossage played it off on his backhand side. And they should have just kept the ball in front of him. You got plenty of time. The pitcher, Batterton, was headed over to cover first. There was really, if he'd have had to do it all over again, he wouldn't have played it on his backhand. He would have just took a couple steps over, got in front of it, knocked it down, and got the out. Now you got runners on the corners, and we have a courtesy runner at first, I believe, right? Yes, Trent Nolan's going to courtesy run for Nolan Strews.
All right, the senior has four stolen bases on the year for your pitcher, Nolan Strews. Now we'll see Heath Milan back up there, walked to lead off the second inning. He got around to third, but never got brought home. We've now seen the Tornadoes get runners in scoring position in each of our three innings so far.
This is a well-coached team for A-Town. Wouldn't shock me to see maybe the runner first try to get a run down and score that runner from third.
First pitch high and above the head of Milan for ball one.
The only thing that makes me think that it wouldn't be on is because Milan's such a good hitter. You don't want to take the bat out of his hands. Should South Fulton end up getting an out on the play?
Milan, second on the team in their batting average at 356. Has 33 RBI. There's a pitch. Swung on. Healthy cut from Milan, but he misses. Count evens up. One ball, one strike.
He got the arms out, extended, took the full cut on that one.
Coleman at third. That's Trent Owens. Courtesy running at first for your pitcher, Nolan Strews. Breaking ball high. And count now two balls, one strike to Milan. Two outs here, bottom of the third. South Fulton with a 1-0 lead. But A-Town has been threatening this entire ballgame, Sean.
They are so, they just keep coming after you.
Runner is off. There's a pitch. Swung on, missed. And actually, the McGinnis looked like he was going to throw second at first, but decided better of it. And Owens will take second.
Yeah, great job by McGinnis. I believe he is he's a senior. With one strike, if that would have been the first strike of the at-bat, you might have thrown it down there. There's no sense throwing down there with two strikes. You're one strike from getting out of the inning, and don't get yourself in any kind of trouble. So he wisely held on to the ball. He might have had a shot, actually, at Owens down at second. But
2-2 the count, two away, runners at third and second. For the Tornadoes, Milan steps back to the box. Batterton trying to get out of the inning. Here's a pitch. Swung on, and that's going to be a base hit through the infield. One run will score. Coleman is coming. Owens round third. He's going to beat a second in time, and it's going to be a throw to second. And Milan is going to slide in for a double. It's a two RBI double for Heath Milan.
Seth Hammond mishandled the ground ball in left field, or they might have had a definite shot, at least a shot at Owens, because he was just rounding the bag when it got to Hammond and left.
So what do you call that? Do we call that a double or a single?
I'm going to call it's a single.
Okay.
And I would say advancing to second on the air, but definitely giving two RBIs on it because Owens was chugging around anyway. But boy, that would have been a legitimate play if the plate had Hamlin come up with it cleanly.
All right, that brings up Nick Boggs. We'll go over that in just a moment. First pitch to Nick, outside and away for ball one. Coleman scores. Owens scores from second. So two RBI for Milan. We're going to give him credit for a single and then reaching second on an E7, as that was Seth Hammond in left field. Didn't quite handle it right enough to try and make the throw to second in time. There's a pitch outside corner breaking ball for Boggs. Count now even up one ball, one strike. So it is a little two-out magic here for the Tornadoes, and they get the lead 2-1.
They're just so tenacious, and it doesn't matter the sport. We talked about it before on football broadcast. The kids that are having the name on are just so tenacious.
The 2-1 pitch, foul towards the stand. South Fulton faithful kind of oohing and aahing as that one got over towards them and their little bleachers over there and bounced off the roof.
What a great crowd today in Lewistown. Both towns represented nicely.
1-2, excuse me, is a count now for Boggs. Milan standing at second and two out. There's a pitch, breaking ball popped up high breaking ball into shallow left field. Ranging over is your shortstop. He'll play it in foul territory. Adam Curry puts it away for out number three. But the damage done for the Tornadoes. They get two runs this inning. Off of one hit, there was one error and one man left on base. We move to the top of the fourth inning. It's 2-1 Abingdon Avon on WRAM. Welcome back to High School Baseball on the Prairie Radio Sports Network. The Class 1A Lewistown Baseball Sectional Championship. Abingdon Avon grabs a lead in the bottom of the third inning over South Fulton. 2-1 off of a 2-RBI single from Heath Milan. That scores Shane Coleman and Trenton Owens. And then Milan takes second after an error. Batterton got out of the inning with no more damage done, but with that 2-out RBI single, and really, actually, you were talking, the 2-out single by Shane Coleman really led everything going.
Yeah, it was a 2-out single and an 0-2 count on Coleman. Batterton leaves one pitch up in the zone. Coleman makes him pay for it, and then he just couldn't adjust after that, and the inning snowballed on him.
Strews working into his fourth inning, and Connor Stevens leading off for the Rebels. As we'll see, 7-8-9. He swings on the first one, fouls it back to the backstop. 0-1 to count. Here's a pitch from Strews, low, near the dirt. Count evens up at 1 apiece. Now the Rebels are going to have to rebound here after giving up the lead, and they now trail this one 2-1 to the Tornadoes. See what Stevens can do. He struck out his first attempt, swings on that one, and fouls it down the first baseline, 1-2 to count. Well, the winner of this game will get the winner of Valmire and Oakville. Down at the Blackburn College Sectional, they play this afternoon at 1. And the winner of that game will move it to the Lincoln Land Community College Super Sectional down in Springfield Monday afternoon.
Oakville, what I would call an upset, at least record-wise, over Carrollton last night in a postponed game from Thursday. Had to play it last night. And kind of a shocker when I got up this morning and seen Carrollton had lost.
There's a pitch from Strews outside, ball two, and the count evens up 2 apiece.
If you're Nolan Strews, your main objective here, as it is every inning, but more so than any inning than this one, don't let South Fulton get themselves back in the game the very next half inning.
Pitch foul back out of play. Hit somebody's car.
Hopefully we're all in contact back there. So
hopefully it was a station car, not mine.
That's right, because we're both right in that area.
Count remains 2-2. Here's a pitch from Strews. Loses that one in the dirt, and the count now full. Stevens battling here to begin the fourth inning.
Yeah, back to my previous point, the very last thing you want to do after a big two-out rally in your half of the inning is come out and walk the leadoff guy the next inning.
The 3-2 pitch to Stevens. Swung on, foul, back to the backstop. He just got a tip of that.
Strews up over the 60-pitch mark here in inning number four. Not a huge total, but something you got to be a little bit aware of now, averaging about 15 pitches per inning. It'll be a little bit over by the time this one's done.
Count remains full to Connor Stevens. Here's the pitch from Nolan Strews. That one foul down the first baseline. Really good at bat for the senior second baseman. Nearing on 10 pitches or so.
This will be the ninth pitch of the at-bat, this next one. Again, bringing that point or that point total, that pitch total up. You as a high school pitcher, you want to be right around 12. going to be around 12 pitches per inning, and he's already got 9 in this one at bat.
Change of baseballs here in Minich Field. Now we're ready to go. Full count. Swung on, missed, strike three, as finally Strews takes Stevens down swinging, and that will bring up Adam Curry, your shortstop. Good at bat from Stevens, but you're right, Nolan Strews came out ahead, and that's what you want from your starting pitcher.
Yeah, that was real close to maybe ball four. That was right about the belly button, maybe letter high. He lets that go. It would have been interesting to see what that call would have been.
Strikeout number 7 of the day for Nolan Strews. Curry walked back in the second inning, takes a breaking ball outside, ball one. Turning into a beautiful day here in Lewistown. A little bit of a breeze blowing in from right field and some cottonwood blowing over the ballpark. Beautiful setting as the pitch goes inside corner. Strike one. Count now evened up.
Thomas came out. Got a little heat flowing through here right now.
There's another sectional championship game going on just down the street at Higgins Field, a softball title game between the North Fulton Wildcats and the Princeville Lady Princes. That one kicked off at 11. There's a pitch low in the dirt, 2-1 to count the Curry.
Yeah, I can almost hear some cheering, actually, from the ballpark here. Actually, a couple players turn around and look that way.
2-1 count, swung on, missed by Curry. And the count now, 2 balls, 2 strikes by Nolan Strews. 1 away here, top of the fourth.
Nice changeup, pulled the string a little bit, had Curry way out in front.
2-1 your count. 2-1 to score, I should say, as the 2-2 pitch outside, the count full to Adam Curry. 2-1, A-Town leads it. Coming back from trailing 1-0 to get a 2-run third inning.
Coleman really, really wanted that one.
The 3-2 pitch inside, ball four. Second walk of the day for Curry.
Getting down to the 9 hitter. Gage Spires designated hitter with 1 away. I haven't seen what Curry's stolen base total is on the air. Only 2. Been caught twice, so not a good percentage. 50% is not good. Not a genius, but that's not good.
Spires struck out back in the second.
Which makes me think that Coach Hatfield maybe have the 9-man Spires laying one down for the leadoff hitter. Try to get the runner over.
One runner gone. But off up high towards us. Coleman going to make the play in foul territory. What a great job from Shane Coleman in the backstop. Plenty of room towards the backstop here in Minich Field. Shane Coleman gets himself over there. That's what his athleticism behind home plate can do for you. Made the nice snag for out number 2.
About 5 feet in front of our broadcast location here. And I thought he overran it, but he stayed on his feet. I thought it was going to be one of those sliding catches on the foul ball. Stayed on his feet at the last minute and about fell off balance, still made the catch.
Yeah, went down to a crouch, but came up with it. Now your leadoff hitter is up. Foul back out of play by Trace Hood for strike one. As the runner, Curry, still at first, but now 2 away here, top of the fourth.
A dreaded, non-productive out.
Got to get your bunts down. Got to get your bunts down. Swung on and missed from Hood on the 0-1 count now. No balls, 2 strikes as he took a late swing on an inside fastball. The 0-2 to Hood. He is 0-2 with a strikeout and a ground out to short. Swings on that one for another strikeout. Strikeout number 8 of the day for Nolan Strews for the inning. The Rebels get no runs off of no hits, no errors. They did leave 1 man on base. We move to the bottom of the fourth. It's 2-1, Abby and Avon on top of South Fulton on WRAM. I'm Logan Sell, joined by Sean Temple. We'll keep it here for just a moment. Take a quick look at some of our fine sponsors, including Heather's Beauty Salon, Gray's Sandwich Shop, the Care Center of Abingdon, and Urs Car Care, all proud supporters of A-Town Baseball. Sean, that inning, it looks like the Tornadoes did exactly what they needed to do and didn't let South Fulton get any more men in back.
Yeah, that's exactly it. After a big 2-out rally, you've got yourself back in the ballgame. You actually got yourself a lead. You got your fans back in the ballgame. The last thing you want to do is go out and be wild with the first couple of batters. And he got away with not walking Connor Stevens, the leadoff hitter, in the top of the fourth inning as he was at a full count, 2-2. Stevens fouled off a couple pitches, and Strews bore down, got the strikeout, did walk the second guy. But a failed pop-up bunt, which that in the postseason, you got like you said a couple times, you got to get the bunt down. You got to get the bunt down. It didn't get down for South Fulton, and then he puts away Hood on 3 pitches to end the inning. That's exactly what you want if you're Coach Pickerel. It's your hurler to go out there and shut him down the very next half inning.
South Fulton against the Triopia on Wednesday. Didn't make mistakes. Well, this one, this time they have two errors coming in the last inning. One of them led directly to a run. One of them did not. But they got to shut that down on defense here as we head to the bottom of the fourth inning. It's going to be 7-8-9 coming up for the Tornadoes. Darce, Dugan, and Stipp, who each struck out in the second inning. Hunter steps back up there. Batterton with the first pitch breaking ball. Foul down to third baseline by Hunter Darce.
Yeah, you should have preceded that with a hanging breaking ball there. Maybe hung
that
up
was,
in the zone. Those hit-me curveballs.
Yep. And when you kick yourself for not getting all of 0-1 the count. Here's a pitch from Batterton. He gets all of that one. Darce with a base hit towards shallow left field as it hits right at the grass, and it's the leadoff single for Hunter Darce.
Yeah, line drive on another pitch up in the zone from Batterton. Batterton is at 65 pitches now, so he shouldn't be getting extremely tired, although the sun's come out, maybe heat bearing down maybe a little bit here in the middle innings, but got that ball up.
And Tyler Dugan, junior second baseman, heads back to a play. Runner on at first. What the Tornadoes can do, they lead 2-1 in this sectional championship.
Darce does have five steals on the year.
Dugan shows butt, takes a strike on the outside corner. McGinnis pops up and fires back to first, but able to reach first safely is Darce. As you're right, he had a hefty lead, but got back before Gossage could lay down the 10.
Yeah, it looked like a decent pitch to bunt. Called strike. Dugan pulls back. I don't think they had a bunt steal on, obviously, because Darce is still at first.
Batterton steps off here. Count 0-1.
The umpire, the last thing you should be worried about is the scoreboard count. He is signaling up to the press box.
Bunt this time high into foul territory by Dugan. And it's count now 0-2.
Tyler, the son of assistant coach Brent Dugan, Monmouth College Hall of Famer, I believe, in the Baseball Hall of Fame for Monmouth College. I watched Brent bulldog his way through an entire Midwest Conference tournament one year, years ago. I won't tell how many years ago to save Mr. Dugan his age, but it's been a while.
Bunt attempts by Dugan, and he misses it, or fouls it, and they're going to call a foul tip. He is out, but the runner does take second on the pass ball.
Yeah, on the foul, he must have said he didn't get a piece of it. Even if it's
okay.
A bunt foul, the batter's out. But
yeah,
the
runner would have to go back, but yeah.
He must have said he missed it.
He missed it.
It sounded like he got a piece of it. Did it sound like it to you?
It was right there, but it's going to go down as a strikeout for Tyler Dugan in the scorebook, and Darce will take second on the pass ball. Ben Stipp with a fun attempt, pops this one way high in the air, and foul back out towards the backstop, and a lucky fan near the concession stands catches that one. 0-1 to count to Stipp.
Yeah, kind of a strange call. Runner at second. Had one away already, unless he had been bunting for base. That third base was deep. Third baseman is Shea Hopping. He is deep, so maybe Coach Pickerel saw where he was playing and was going to have Stipp lay one down for a hit.
Well, Ben Stipp steps back in there now, 0-1 the count. For your junior left fielder. Runner on at second is Darce. There's a pitch, bunt, foul back, 0-2. This one didn't pop up in the air, but still didn't lay it down.
Just odd to me. He would have
maybe trying to take
it into the air. I mean, he's a 329 hitter.
Maybe trying to take advantage of hopping over there at third, who we mentioned has plenty of power, not the fleetest of foot. As it is, it's 0-2. One away here, bottom of the fourth. There's a pitch from Batterton, stick with contact, a high fly ball towards right center, and making the play will be your right fielder, Alex Dorphy. And the runner's going to hold at second as Darce didn't have a shot.
Yeah, I wouldn't really call that a non-productive out, as there was one out and runner on second anyway, but didn't get much done with it. Didn't get the runner over for one, but it does bring up Bo Glazier, leadoff hitter up.
Glazier 1-for-2 in this one. With a leadoff single to start off the game, also struck out in the third. Batterton trying to battle back after allowing a leadoff single. There's a pitch blocked by McGinnis behind home plate. Ball one, but he did a good job making sure Darce didn't take third.
Yeah, just kind of dropped down to one knee, kept it in front of him. Didn't hop around. I've seen Shane kind of just top on some baseballs. It's a different way of doing it. McGinnis stayed really calm that time.
The 1-0, low again, and 2-0 to Bo Glazer.
You definitely can't pitch around Glazer with Fordyce on deck, for sure.
Will Glazer steps back in, the right-handed batter, runner at second with two away here. Bottom of the fourth, and a 2-1 A-Town lead. Batterton's breaking ball inside corner, and maybe a little generous on the call there. That one looked pretty inside.
Yeah, we're off to the right of home plate. We're on the first base side of home plate, and we're not right directly behind, but I'm like you. Look pretty good from our angle.
2-1 the count. Outside this time, 3-1 now.
Excuse me, it looked pretty
inside. But
inside of the previous pitch.
We have a pretty good look at right-handed batters here from our vantage point. Down along the fence at Nidage Field.
Really got to be careful with this 3-1 pitch if you're Batterton.
Batterton steps back up and delivers. Low outside for ball four. And Glazer will head down to first base on a walk as McGinnis tried to frame that one up, and I thought he may get the call, but as it is, Brett Fordyce is going to head up with runners at first and second.
And now we're getting a couple of assistant coaches giving the hands-out signal to the umpire there. Don't really know where that last one was. Again, we don't have a great angle from where we're at, but usually a 3-1 pitch, you're going to get maybe an inch or two off the plate.
So Fordyce comes back up to the plate, 0-for-2 in this one. Flew out to center, also grounded out to first base. Runners on, first and second. First pitch popped up, fouled out of play by Fordyce.
Brett, very, very aggressive. He does, 23 walks on the season. Only 11 strikeouts. That's out of 117 plate appearances. He will put the ball in play here.
Also has 18 RBI for the Tornadoes.
And pretty good speed as well.
Left-handed batter steps back in there. 0-1 the count. Batterton gathers himself, and now time is called from Fordyce. And just a little too long on the wait that time.
Yeah, umpire is letting him know right now, you can't call too late. Batterton looked like he was already in his motion, kind of put the arms out like I was already started here.
Runners at first and second, two outs here, bottom of the fourth. Tornadoes lead the Rebels 2-1 in this sectional championship. 0-1 the count, and now Batterton's going to step off on his own.
A little cat and mouse between Fordyce and Batterton now. Call time on me, I'll call time on you.
Dar standing at second for the Tornadoes. Glazer at first, a lot of speed out there for A-Town. There's a fastball high. Count now evened up at one ball, one strike.
I absolutely love the head games between the pitchers and catchers, or pitchers and hitters.
1-1 your count, Fordyce. Steps back in. Pitch from Batterton. Swung on, fouled up high. Not playable. It's out of play. Just outside the fence there. And the count's now 1-2.
Over, probably getting close to 80 pitches now for Justin Batterton through 3-plus innings. We're getting near the end of the fourth inning. That's up near about 20 pitches per inning. That's a lot.
Coleman on deck for the Tornadoes. Nolan Shrews in the hole. There's a pitch chopped over towards third base. Hopping is going to make it and make the play at third for out number three. As it stands, the Tornadoes get no runs off of one hit. There were no errors and two left on base. We move to the top of the fifth inning after four complete. It's 2-1 Abingdon Avon on WRAF.